to pretending like I'm any kind of expert here. And secondly, the lesson today, really, whether you're a mom or whether you're a dad, it applies exactly the same. Whether you're an adult, it'll apply to you as well. But it's the importance of influence on children, on whether they're your own children, whether they're children in the church, so or children around you. That just the influence that you can have is unbelievable. So let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to read out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd bless now our Bible study this morning. Speak to our hearts through your word and by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that we would, just for these next several minutes, think about these truths and that we would make an application to our lives. We are thankful for all of the moms and for our moms and all that they mean to us, all that they've done, all that they continue to do, the influence that they have on us and have had on us throughout the years. We ask all this now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 through 15. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." One of the great instructional texts in the Bible, and in fact in Deuteronomy, two other times you'll find much of what's said here written, just to remind the Israelites of the importance of raising children and the importance of the influence that parents have, of course, on their children. But somebody said this some years ago, and I remembered what they said. I wrote it down. But they said this. They said, "It has been said regarding Christianity that the first generation of Christians, the first generation generates, the second generation saturates, and the third generation evaporates." In other words, the third generation departs from the faith. So this morning, again, whether you're a mom or whether you're a dad, whoever you are, what role can mom have, and dad, of course, and just adults have in preventing this from occurring? Now, that's not always the case where the third generation evaporates, but all too often it is. And we want to learn some truths out of God's Word, how that can be prevented. You know, I'm thankful I am the third generation of Christians in my family. My grandfather, Stephen Malachuk, he was saved at the Henry Street Baptist Church in New York City. And then my dad came to know the Lord growing up in that family. And then I came to know the Lord. Then obviously my children who have come to know the Lord. And now I'm watching my grandchildren as they grow. So they will be the fifth generation of believers. But we're seeing too many of young people leave the faith. And we want to think about why that is. So, an old-time preacher by the name of Oliver Green. I don't even know if Ethan's ever heard of Oliver Green, but he's from Oliver B. Green. He wrote this. I read this and wrote this down years ago. He said this: no person, in fact, Oliver B. Green makes me look young, so that's how old this guy is. No person, he said, can take the place of mother. Therefore, mothers should love their children above fame and fortune, beauty, houses, or social prestige. Children should come first in the heart of the mother, and she should forsake all except her husband to give her love and time and attention to her children. The best friend any child will ever have on the face of the earth is a godly, consecrated mother who loves them. It was true when he wrote it, still true today. I heard a very sad story on Friday, and I was thinking about this on the ride down, and this thought kind of is in my mind. Just because a woman has a child, it doesn't make her a mother. Now, obviously, it makes her a mother in the sense that she had a child. But we're talking about what it means to be a mother. You understand what I'm saying? So I heard this story. We have some friends whose their daughter adopted a little boy years ago when the mom was, I think she was like 15 at the time. And they've been raising that child. And this woman went on to have four more children. And all by different dads. And then she met a man who would marry her, but he would marry her, but he said, I don't want the children. So she went to social services and said, I don't want my children any longer. And she gave up all of her children. And then she had four more children after that. So that's what I mean by a woman has a child that doesn't always make them a mother. You understand what I'm saying there? It just is unfathomable to me that, and that story, you know, that I heard personally from someone, but I've heard stories like that and situations like that down throughout the years. So let's look at some things. Let's look at some things here. I want you to notice in chapter 6, those verses that I read, I want you to notice this. If you notice how many times the word thou was used, the word thou. So let me just start to read through this again. Let's look at our text. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Here's the first time of 16 times that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons all the days of thy life. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God, thy fathers, hath promised thee in the land that floweth milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And a little bit further in verse 7, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So you understand what's happening here. Just look up here just for a second. What's happening here? The idea is that this is really personal. This scriptures aren't given to the preacher. This scripture is given to the parents in the home. It's thou, your responsibility. You have a responsibility. 16 times it's found here where it's made personal and the importance of it being personal. The Bible says that we are to raise our children in the New Testament. It says this. How many of you know this verse? We are to raise our children in the nurture and... Yeah, let's say that again together, won't you? Raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a great responsibility that we all have to do that. So there's three things here that I've listed to be mindful about. Again, whether you're a mom or a dad or whoever you are, and I want to say this too. The Lord will help you with all of these things. You know, one of the great things about knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God doesn't expect us to be Christian parents on our own. He wants to help us. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants us to be sensitive to His leading. But there are some things that we need to consider in order to be successful at what the Lord asked us to do. So first, if you notice on the handout that I gave you, this is just a simple handout, simple three points here. If you haven't noticed, I'm pretty much a three-point preacher. But the Bible says, be a mom, be a parent of conviction. What are convictions? Somebody tell me, what are convictions? If I asked you that, what are convictions? Say that again, I couldn't hear you.
Deep down, nobody
can change it. Yeah, that's good. Something that you believe really deep down that nobody can change. Yeah. Anybody else? A conviction.
Things you're certain of. Similar.
Yeah, things that you're certain of. Like set in stone.
Yeah, I thought of the word settled. Like this is there are things that we might be unsure of or have opinions about, but there are certain things that are settled.
Certain things that are settled. Good. Yeah. A strong belief in the truth of what God's word teaches. And we're to be mindful of that. So we're also to be mindful of this. Where do our convictions come from? That's the whole point, really, much of Deuteronomy chapter 6, of reminding us where our convictions come from. Our convictions have to come from the Bible, from the Word of God. Because people have strong beliefs and things that are deep down settled inside of them, but those things don't necessarily come from the Bible. Our convictions have to come from the Word of God. In fact, in a sense, I say they're our convictions. They're really God's truths, God's convictions that we... accept and adopt into our lives as believers. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verses like that. Be not conformed to this world, because the world has convictions. The world has strong beliefs. The philosophy of the world we live in. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is holy, was that verse? Holy and acceptable in the perfect will of God. I think I got that right. Close. But be a mom, be a dad, be an adult of convictions. Some key words here. Again, in verse number 1. These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Let me just stop there. You have to have a teachable spirit, right? Some people don't have a teachable spirit. They think that they know everything. Got to have a teachable spirit. Nobody knows everything except the Lord. To teach you that you might do them. There's a key word, the word do. That word is in verse 1, that you might do them. And it's also in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. To put it into action. Do it. We know that the Bible says that we're not only to be hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. To be doers of the word. And so it's important that when we learn the scriptures and we learn the statutes and we learn the commandments, that we make application in our lives. And we take the word of God, and in our children's case, they see us doing what the scriptures teach. If they don't see us doing what the scriptures teach, then they're going to look at us and they're going to think that these scriptures, these commandments, these statutes, well, they might think, I hear that they're important, but I don't understand. I don't see mom or dad doing these things, so how important can they really be? So it's important that we think about that. Another key word in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all of his statutes. So the emphasis is on doing. The emphasis is on keeping, to keep them. And in verse number 2, you'll notice how many of the statutes? To keep all his statutes. We have to be careful that we don't begin to pick and choose. I'll believe this part of the Bible, but I won't believe this part of the Bible. Or I'll do this is what God commands of me to do, but I won't do what this is God. That can be, you know, children especially are not, they're not ignorant. They see that. They see it. They can tell right away. And we need to be mindful of that. Convictions, when we have convictions in our heart, then we'll want to do the things that God has said to do. When we have a conviction, a strong belief that's settled, we'll want to keep his word. When we have those convictions, it's not a pick and choose. We need to be careful. But convictions produce doers and keepers. It's a doer and keeper and all mentality. It then becomes not so much out of duty, it becomes just a matter of the heart. The matter of the heart. A couple of verses. One other word, too, that's very important. Look at verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Some verses with regards to the word fear. You know some of these, so help me when I get started. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Yeah, knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, that part of it you wouldn't know quite as much. But let's say this all together. Let's begin. I'll say it, and you repeat after me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise instruction, excuse me, wisdom and instruction. Well, those are just simple verses that it's easy to memorize. And you know what? Those come in handy when you have to make, you know, part of parenting is the ability to say yes and the ability to say no. Here's another one, Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from all evil. What's a good definition of, or what's a good idea of fearing the Lord when we talk about that, to fear the Lord? When you think of those words, what does it mean in your heart to fear the Lord? Something that you did wrong. Well, that could be a result of fearing the Lord, or something that maybe a ramification with regards to that. But the fear of the Lord, like it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. What do you think about when? Because the Bible uses that term a lot. So yes, Frank.
To learn His commandments and statutes.
I think that's a result of fearing the Lord. Yes, Jenny? think it's respect.
Yeah. Realization of his awesomeness and holiness.
Yeah, that's good. Realization of his awesomeness and his holiness. Yep.
Recognizing his power and might, but also realizing his love.
Recognizing his power and his might, but also, and what was the second part?
Also recognizing that he's a loving God.
But also recognizing he's a loving God. Yeah, that's important to remember.
Knowing for sure you better do what he says or it's not going to be good for you.
That's true. Yep, that's true. Yep. There's a book that, I just forgot the author's name. I read it some years ago. The Joy of Fearing the Lord by, who was the guy that did the Sunday school stuff? The Blackman? Is that? Blackman, yeah. The Joy of Fearing the Lord. It's a great book. Somebody had a hand up over here.
Yeah, I was going to say, fear the Lord is realizing when you're done wrong, he's got the right to enforce his discipline, and realizing that through his grace and mercy, he'll forgive us.
Okay. Do you think we live in a culture that fears the Lord? Not really. Not at all. In fact, I think sometimes, forget the culture. How about the church culture? You know, I think often it's in the church culture. Yes?
Well, it even comes up whenever we talk about it, is we're always quick to pair the fear of the Lord with the love and mercy of the Lord. But that most of the scriptures that do it, they don't do that. I mean, they're two separate things, and they obviously complement each other, but there's this lost, like you're saying, even in the church, there's this lost reverence that God said it how it is, and it's not negotiable. He has the right to judge us for anything. And it's his. So, but then at the same time, then we balance it with even his forgiveness is only based on the fact that he's decreed it. He said that he's faithful and just to forgive us. But his fear is, we can't order our world however we want. He's given the order of the universe.
Yeah. And in the local church, I've heard now in the last month, two churches, both of which are gospel preaching churches, in which there is a debate that's taking place with regards to the role or what the scriptures teach about homosexuality. In fact, one of the churches, the pastor and his wife just left because their daughter, somebody was sharing this with me from our church, they began to debate within the church whether homosexuality should be, accepted from a scriptural point of view. And in one of the churches, there was really not much of a debate. And there shouldn't be a debate because our convictions are based upon the scriptures. But what's happening is people are trying to, you know, it's the old, I've said this many times because I heard it, Jerry Falwell said it, I'm sure many other people have said it years ago, I heard him say this, that the Bible isn't to change, the culture isn't to change the Bible is to change the culture. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So this pastor and his wife, they left because their daughter got engaged to a woman. And they wanted to try to kind of figure out how they could fit all of that into their church. Now, I believe if you have a child that goes in that direction in life, it doesn't mean you don't love that child. But you have to discern between what the scriptures say and what the scriptures teach. And you have to take, that's a conviction. If you don't have that, if you vacillate on all of that, then you don't really have any convictions.
Like that, people will say for years that they have a Bible belief, but a life circumstance will cause them to reconsider all of these supposed biblical beliefs. So they take the circumstances of their life and redefine everything based on their personal experience.
It's true. So convictions, it's important that we have convictions, and they're based upon the Word of God. And just raising children, you're going to come across these crossroads, and you're going to have to decide which direction that you're going to head. One is down, you know, the Bible road, and the other is down the secular road. And that's where convictions come in. So we need to be mindful of that. We're going to quickly move on to the second point here. It's important that, again, whether you're a mom or whoever we are, that we are moms of consistency. Consistency. You'll never be all that God wants you to be, and I'll never be all that God wants me to be, or none of us will be all that God wants us to be regarding our families, unless there is consistency in our lives. And that's important. Consistency is the fruit of conviction. When you have strongly held beliefs, then there's going to be a consistency in how you conduct the affairs in the home. And our children need to see the evidence of Christ living in us in our homes. Somebody said this too, and I never forgot it. They said, just because you have a Bible in the house doesn't mean you have a Christian home. Because many homes have, maybe less and less as we move on in time, but just because you have a Bible there, by the way, just because you come to church every Sunday doesn't mean you have a Christian home. I knew of a family years and years and years ago who professed many of the truths that we profess and talk, and the Bible teaches, and, you know, people have one face at church, and then they can have a whole other face at home. And it's too bad. And it's not that we're all going to have perfect homes, and as parents, we're all going to make mistakes, and we're not going to always be as consistent, perhaps, as the Lord wants us to be. But if we are really desiring to be men and women of conviction, then I think Jim mentioned it, when we do something wrong, of course, we know that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is to convict us of the fact that we are off track. But here's the danger. You know, I think you've probably all heard of the example of you just take a ship, and I think if a ship is off by 1 degree, as it goes, if there's two ships, and one's going straight, and the other one's just a little bit off, but after time, 1 degree takes you further away, and further away, and further away, and further away. And all of a sudden, just those little things that kind of can creep in, where we lack conviction as Christian parents, then that can be very dangerous. We need to be careful. We need to be consistent. In a Christian home, it's a home where we are endeavoring to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. We have to be mindful of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not to be a guest in our home. He's to abide in our home, and to be mindful of that. Now, note this word, too. Look at verses 7 and 9. And thou shalt teach them, meaning these statutes, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's an important word. That's a word that's found in Scriptures. Verse 17, too, look what it says. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. Diligently. Now, that word, it means to intensely sharpen. I stopped at Ethan's house yesterday, and Ethan had these huge trees cut down by a logger or a tree guy. And I mean, he's got some stumps that I don't, would you say they're like this round? I mean, they're not stumps, but chunks. So I said, are you going to, cut those up yourself? And he said, yeah, they are. I said, well, let me just give you a little advice. I'm sure he already thought of this because he told me. I said, go buy a new chain for your chainsaw because that'll come out of the shop as sharp as it can possibly be. Because when you cut through that, you want it to be good and sharp. It's a huge, it's going to take them some time. And nothing worse than trying to cut through a... Yeah, right, bring your chainsaws. bring some chainsaws with new blades. So, anyhow, if you've ever cut wood, there's nothing worse than trying to cut wood with a dull blade. It's just terrible. Anyhow, diligently, that word diligently there, it means to intensely sharpen, to do things, though, again and again and again. If you've ever sharpened a blade, that's how you sharpen it. You take a file and you file it again and again, each tooth again and again and again until there's an edge on that. Well, it's the same thing with raising children. You're to teach these truths to our children diligently. Look what it says in verse 7. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Almost every place you could find your child, it's a place to be able to teach them the importance of keeping God's word. And that's what we do, and we're consistent, you know. Travis, you were telling me you were building a chicken coop. If you think about it, you could probably, if the boys are around helping you, you could probably find some spiritual application to building a chicken coop. I'm not sure what it is, but you could probably find something that all of a sudden, you know, boys, this is kind of like, and some Bible application. This had an impact on my life, even in the years, I couldn't get it out of my mind, in the years that I didn't walk with the Lord. I was camping with my father and my two brothers, and my dad said this to me. Because we were just talking about creation and the existence of God, and he said, just look at a leaf, and look how a leaf is formed. And I couldn't get that out of my mind, just a leaf and the creative hand of God upon it. In fact, I told that story many years ago. We had a fellow in the church, he was a deacon until they moved to Missouri, Randy Carter, and he took a beautiful picture of this leaf, and I still have that. And it's just simple little things like that, especially children, especially young children will remember. That's why for years we did like a father-son camp out, just to take the kids and go camping and fishing and all that, but also have a time around the fire so they could think about spiritual things. Just to be consistent. 2 Timothy 1:5, I think I have that on your handout. There was consistency in the mother and grandmother of young Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned, it means not to give a false impression or to be counterfeit. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. So there was a real genuine faith that Timothy could see in his grandmother and his mom. And that had an impact. There's an old preacher by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. If you've never read this book by G. Campbell Morgan, it's a great book called The Great Physician. And but G. Campbell Morgan was, somebody asked once, he had five sons. And they were asked, who among you is the greatest preacher? And what was their answer? Mom. She was the greatest preacher. She was the one that brought them all up and laid the law down. And so I always, when I tell people, when we're talking about kids, and I mention to people, yeah, I had eight children. I said, wow, you had eight children. I said, yeah, well, my wife, she ran a pretty tight ship. And I give her all the credit for keeping the house in order and getting the clothes washed and food on the table and keeping the house clean. And she's still big into the clothes washing. I mean, sometimes I'm not even sure I even put the clothes on. She's already got them in the washing machine. I mean, it's just like when you have eight kids, you got to keep up with the laundry. It wasn't like, you know, one day was a laundry day. In our house, every day was a laundry day. And grocery shopping. When the stock market took a crash years ago, I always joked. I said, we don't have any money in the stock market. All of our money's invested in the supermarket. And it's just the way that it was. But anyhow, praise God for the mother of my children. And then lastly, be a mom of confidence. Be a confident mom. We find our confidence in the Lord. Amen. And not our own abilities, but we find our confidence in the sense that God will give us the ability. Be sure your confidence is always in the Lord. And I've really run out of time, but real quickly, let's just read through verses 10 down through 15 and we'll be done. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Thou shalt not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from all the face of the earth. Be sure your confidence is always in the Lord. Remember what the writer of Deuteronomy said, be careful that you don't forget. Be careful. Be careful. You don't want to be forgetful. How often as Christians we forget that our dependence is upon the Lord when things are going well. God is doing prospering you and you're doing well. Be careful. Be careful that you don't forget. You don't forget. Complacency can set in. Complacency, a lack of confidence. The Bible says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Or Proverbs 14:6 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So just some simple truths just to make application in our lives. Again, whether you're a mom or you're a dad or whatever, or an adult here, that maybe you've never been a dad or a mom, be a person of conviction, be a person of consistency, and be a person that puts their confidence in God. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the morning service. Let it bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.